Can I tell you all something? I post stuff on Instagram, and I'm just listening, not even listening, I'm just looking at the responses I get to the stuff I post. Like, people are literally in their entire feelings. I just responded to something a girl posted about a picture a guy posted of a white man pouring acid on these two black ladies in a pool. And this girl says, I don't want to see that on my timeline. I don't want to be reminded of the tragedies. I'm like, that is mighty white of you to say that. Black people were suffering back then and are still suffering, and your response is to say, I don't want to be bothered with it. And so I basically commented on what she said. And so a few folks liked my comment. Now, she said that 600 people liked her comment when she responded back. But I'm like, the likes don't validate what you're saying. I said, these are idiots on Instagram who agrees with an idiot. I said, it's not, you didn't say anything profound. I said, you just said something that most white people would agree with. Because most white people don't want to be bothered with the burden nor responsibility of what slavery has done and what the system is currently doing to black people in this country. I said, so you didn't say anything that was newsworthy or noteworthy. You basically just gave a tired, generic excuse, which is what y'all always do. Again, I don't ever make this thing about color. Well, let me backtrack. So all these cronies start coming after me. But here's what always happens. My good people, here's what always happens. These white people start commenting. And I'm going to say these white people, you Caucasians, they start off commenting, telling me I'm making excuses. Then it goes from excuses to straight racism. It always goes from you're making an excuse to racism. I'm talking about flat out pure racism, nigger, monkey. And I said, wait a minute. Y'all just told me it was an excuse. Y'all just told me it was made up. Y'all just told me it was a figment of my imagination. Y'all just told me that what I was saying was preposterous and I need to get over it. And in less than two text threads or Instagram response threads, you all are calling me nigger. How amazing is that? That the racism can come out off of something that is not even racist. That's the funny part. What I said wasn't even racist. I just said it's mighty convenient to not want to be bothered with something that doesn't affect you, but does affect a group of people whose culture, I might add, you are jacking. Whose swagger and culture you are jacking. Y'all love black culture, but you don't love black people, and that's problematic. Because what happens is you start stealing from black people and not caring about the people, and then what do? You'll take from the people and then discard, or you'll take what they have to offer and then you'll discard from the people. And again, this is not about race at all. This is about character. But I'm on Instagram and I'm getting all this hate responses from these flunkies. And then you go to their page and they got a fake picture up. They got a private account. So you know what that means. They're cowards. They're afraid. If you run your mouth on social media and your page is private, you are a coward. You on social media, nothing can happen to you. So if you're afraid on social media, if you're afraid on Instagram, then I can only imagine what you are in real life. You have a pathetic existence. But anyway, this girl was so proud of the fact that her comment got 600 and something likes. And I said, you are an idiot. I said, likes don't validate anything. Who you are in real life validates who you are, not an app. An app can't validate you. Anyway, after I roasted her in the comment, she didn't respond, but her friends responded. They started tagging other friends, so you know I had a whole gang of people trying to get at me. But guess what? Guess what? The difference between me and most of them is that I was built for it. What a black man has to go through in America prepares him for all the arrows life is going to shoot at him. And don't let that black man make it past those arrows and live. Because then he's going to be king. You know, I love chess, but I like checkers better. King me. Welcome to the Dirty Soapbox. Sometimes you gotta look at things for what they are. You gotta read between the lines. Let me rephrase that. All the time, you have to look at things for what they are and remove yourself out of the equation and not take these things so personally. Somebody told me that my album was a flop, and then somebody else told me it was epic. Somebody's lying. That's two ends of the spectrum. How do we go from flop to epic? That's impossible. How do we go from not good to great? That's impossible. Somebody's lying. But you gotta remember something. Don't take it personal. I don't take it personal. It's not personal. I know my album is good. Why do I know it's good? Because I made it. And that's all the validation I need. I don't need for someone else to tell me that it's good. Even if my album don't sell anything, that doesn't mean it's not good. And folks get caught up in how the world responds to what they do to determine whether they are successful or not. Snoop Dogg got a Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm happy for Snoop Dogg, but let me ask the question, who determines it? Who determines the Walk of Fame? Do they ask the people to vote? Do they ask the public to vote? No. So there's a governing body that controls who gets their name on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and who doesn't. So is it really based on a person's accomplishments and achievements, or is it based on how that governing body feels about what that person did? You see what I mean? The Hollywood Walk of Fame does not determine whether you're famous or not. It doesn't mean you're an elite entertainer. It means that a governing body, a group of people recognized you for something or some things and decided to put you on there. If they didn't want you on there, you wouldn't be on there. Same way when Will Smith and Jada were boycotting the Oscars. I'm like, why are y'all boycotting the Oscars? Y'all never boycotted them before. Why y'all boycotting them now? Because y'all didn't win? Who says an Oscar determines whether you had quote-unquote Oscar-worthy performances? There's a governing body that determines whether you get an Oscar or not. So everybody's caught up with how society responds to what they're doing to get them validation. You got to know what you're doing is good because you did it. If you gave 110%, if you gave your blood, sweat, and tears, if you gave your hard work, then guess what? It was successful. If you gave your best, if you put your all into something, then it was successful. Society telling you it's great or not is icing on the cake, but you already done baked the cake. Cake's already been in the oven. You already put the ingredients in. You already stirred it up. The cake has been made. Now, if you get that Walk of Fame or that Grammy and all that stuff, that's icing on the cake. But that stuff in no way validates nor solidifies who you are on this earth. God made me great, therefore I choose to create greatness. Nobody has to tell me that. No room full of old, rich Jewish men can tell me if my album is Grammy worthy or not. Or my performance in a movie or whatever is Oscar worthy or not. It's not gonna happen. I know it's good because I did it. I know it's good because I put my all into it. I know it's good because I hone in on my craft. I know it's good because I've been studying my arts. I know it's good because I ain't cheat the system. I know it's good. So don't look for a society to validate anything. You're validated once you attempt to do something and you give it your all. That's the validation right there. You didn't cheat. You didn't cut any corners. You didn't cheat God. You didn't cheat yourself. So guess what? Job well done. Now, if I get a walk of fame, I might get up there and cry. I might get up there and cry, sling a little snot, you know, give a speech, all that. If I win an Oscar, I'm going to go up there and cry, give a speech. If I win a Grammy, I'm going to go up there and cry and give a speech, tell everybody how much I love them. But if I don't get any of those three things, I won't feel like I was a failure either. Go. Somebody said something to me the other day, and it didn't sit right with me. It didn't sit right with my spirit. And I had to tell them, if you're going to say something negative, don't include me in it. You shouldn't be saying it anyway. But if you got to say something negative, you leave yourself in it. Don't add me to the equation. I rebuke all that. Don't speak nothing negative about me or what you got going on. And I told that person, most people think they're speaking positive and doing all this affirmation stuff for the present, and it's not for the present. It's for the future, because we are planting seeds. We are planting seeds now, so that in 30 years, we're happy with life. In 40 years, we're happy in our life. We don't feel like failures. In 40 or 50 years, we are happy with our lives. Because we planted all these seeds. We said all these positive things. That's why I tell people, wake up every day and say these positive things. I told that person, don't put me in the equation though. Don't speak negative. I don't care if you got 178 degree temperature. Don't say you sick. And I say that, and most folks think I'm crazy when I say that, but I say that for a reason. Don't say you're sick. You know why? Because when somebody else says something, you have a choice in whether or not you're going to receive it. You have a choice on whether or not you're going to receive it. But when you say something, it's coming from the inside and it holds more power. It's the power of life and death in the tongue. So when you say something, it holds all the weight because it's coming from the inside. That means you created it to spit it out into the universe. So what I'm telling you now is, I don't care if you're tired, don't say you tired. If you don't have any money in your account, don't say you broke. Even with no money in your account, say I'm rich. Again, you're not planting the seeds for right now. You planting the seeds so in 30 years you'll actually be rich. We think it's something that's immediate and it's not. These affirmations are seeds planted. We like farmers. God is a farmer. We got seed time and harvest. Human beings are no different. You got to plant these seeds now. I'm trying to get in shape. I'm trying to get in my best shape now when it's cold. So when it warms up, oh my goodness. No shirt summer. I'm not going to wear a shirt the whole summer. And I'm going to have some chains on hitting my chest too. Look like a pharaoh. I'm like a king with gold all on me. No shirt though. Gold all in my mouth. Gold everywhere. All gold everything. I'm getting off base, I know. But you can control what people say to you and how it affects you. But when you say it, that thing came from the inside. It's internal and it holds a lot more weight. It's a lot more damaging. And somebody argued with me and they said, well, I know somebody and they always speak negative and nothing's wrong with them. I said, yeah, every now and then people slip through the cracks. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. It ain't 100%, but nothing's 100%. But I will say this, most successful people have a positive outlook on life. And they speak positive things. So I'm going to go with the majority on this one. If it affects most of the, if it works for most of the people, that's what I'm going to do. And I know that speaking these affirmations, saying you're great, saying you're unstoppable, saying you can't, you free from hurt, harm, or danger, you can't get sick, all these great things, those are seeds we got to plant now. And those seeds pay off years from now. Because you're going to look back one day and say, dang, I haven't been sick in 40 years. I haven't got the flu in 50 years. I haven't been hurt in 50 years. I'm 80 years old and my body feels great. You got to plant them seeds now. The same way I want my shirt off in the summertime, I got to plant them seeds now. When it's hard to work out, when it's cold outside, when everybody's cooking, when everybody want to lay up. This cuffing season, this layup season, I want to get it right now. So by the time it gets hot, man, I'm talking about no shirt on me. Speak positive things. Don't speak anything negative out of your mouth. I remember I watched Bambi as a kid and the mama said, Thumper, what I say? And he said, if I can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not about to say or speak greatness into your life, then keep your mouth closed. You go to that doctor's office to get that diagnosis, keep your mouth closed if you're going to agree with it. Get in the parking lot and yell out anything. I'm healed. All that. I'm great. I can conquer anything. But if you can't speak greatness into your life, keep your mouth closed. That's why everybody that's deaf gets taken care of. Most deaf people got somebody caring for them. You know why? Because they ain't speaking no ill. Don't. I did this podcast from the rental car and it's still a Camry, and I actually like Camrys. I'm in this Camry Sports Edition 2018, and this thing got some get up, roomy. I already claimed it. I want this car, not this car, but I like Camrys, man. I like the way Camrys ride. I like Camrys. I'm not really into cars. I'm into older cars. I'm into like vintage cars. I'm not into really new cars. Like if I get a Ferrari, I want a Ferrari Testarossa. You know, I'm into vintage stuff. I'm not into this new stuff, really. But this Camry, man, as far as me riding around, whipping in these streets, I got to have it. Lord, I got to have it. Paid for. But I just wanted to do a podcast today because I felt like I'm going through some things right now. My car, my hybrid was... They totaled my hybrid out, and it wasn't even really totaled out and I just came home and the car is gone, and I'm kind of feeling some kind of way, and I knew I would be. So now I'm about to crank up the white Benz, the 91 Benz 560 SEL, about to crank that up, you know. But I don't know, I just feel like, I guess in the past, when I faced adversity, it didn't really make me go harder. And now I see that when you pit with adversity, you gotta go even harder. You gotta do even more. You gotta let the universe know that nothing can stop you. What's the song? Nothing can stop me, I'm all the way up. Yeah, nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. And I feel it because my spirit is telling me, you gotta do more then. Don't give up. Don't quit. When life gets hard, you got to hit back. When life gives you lemons, get a lemonade franchise. So when life gets hard, we go harder. That's how we overcome and that's how we get better. And in the past, I wasn't getting better because I was succumbing to the pressures. I was just waiting for the storm to subside. Now I'm riding that storm out like Truman. Y'all seen the Truman Show? Truman said, I'm a die on this boat. But guess what? He made it to the end. So much to the point where the guy hit every switch on the board to make it storm, tsunami, flood, hurricane, everything. And Truman said, I'll die on this boat. And that's how I feel. I don't care what life is throwing at me, I'm going to succeed. And that's the mindset we gotta have when we're really trying to be successful. Nothing's gonna hinder, nothing's gonna stop the show. They say one monkey's gonna stop the show. Nothing's going to stop the show. Forget about monkeys. Nothing's going to stop the show. Nothing. So I want you all to take from this, when life is beating you down, and sometimes it may, go harder. I just watched Rocky, and Rocky was beat up, heading to the 15th round, and Mickey said, man, I'm going to stop the fight. You getting killed out there, man. I'm going to stop it. Rocky said, nah, don't stop. He was like, but you getting killed. Rocky said, it's my life. It's my life. What is Rocky saying? If I quit now, it's going to kill me. And if I die in the ring, then guess what? I'd rather die in the ring than quit. Because at the end of the day, I'm a fighter. I'm a boxer. And what I'm fighting for is bigger than me anyway. I'm fighting for my wife, my kid, my legacy. You talking about throwing the towel? No. I'll die here. That's an honorable death if I die doing what God put me on earth to do. I hope I'm making sense, y'all. When life gets hard and tries to beat you down, we're going to knock life out. And in Rocky II, he and Apollo hit the ground at the same time. Only one difference, though. When they were trying to get up, each corner's yelling, get up, get up, get up. What did Apollo do that messed him up? Apollo looked at Rocky. Rocky was only focused on getting up. Apollo made a mistake because he was up before Rocky. If you look back to the movie, he was up before Rocky. But you know what he did? He turned and he saw Rocky. And you know what that meant? He said, if Rocky... if we both get up, I'm going to have to keep fighting this dude. He's not going to quit. Apollo looked at Rocky and saw he wasn't going to quit. And that made him drop to the mat. You know why? Because the only strength he had left was just to get up. He didn't have enough strength to sit there and process and ponder what was going to happen if they had to fight. He had strength just to get up, like Rocky did. Rocky only has strength to get up. If Rocky looks at Apollo, he falls down. Apollo looks at Rocky, and that took everything from him because he knew he was going to have to fight. But guess what? Like I said before, we are built for this. We are built for this. And guess who won the fight? Rocky. Because all Rocky saw was winning. Thank y'all for tuning in to the Dirty Soapbox. Love y'all. Wait for it. Free Blast. Get money.